Ew, it's us.
It is us.
Welcome back again. It's another episode of Black Tower Podcast, fresh off of JordanCon. I'm not nearly as tired as my compatriot is because
I spent
all of Sunday in bed at JordanCon. Surprise, everybody. Surprise. I missed an entire day of a con, and I really wasn't. I was down for a couple hours Saturday. I didn't really do Saturday morning because I was fucking hungover.
But you were there, and that's what matters. That's what's important.
I was there. I was there more than I was last year, which is improvement. So
yes,
baby steps, baby steps.
And in July, maybe we'll get you there the entire. Maybe you'll actually get to stand up on stage when Nabe List is thanking all the directors.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe that's my reason why I don't show up on Sunday, because I just don't want to be in that awkward spotlight.
I made a joke, and Nabe said he was going to drag your ass out of bed next time. So just
kinky. Beware. Oh, well, in that case, anyway, if he's going to come drag me out, I definitely am staying in bed. Anyway, I am one of your hosts here at the Black Tower Podcast. My name is Andrew, and I am your Bajan Mahal. I lead the storms, as long as it's within the confines of the con hotel room.
As long as the weatherman says it's okay. You don't lead the storms, you lead the battles. Stay in your lane. I lead the storms. I'm Josh.
Oh, shit, I definitely did say storm. My bad.
I'm the Sauravon Mahal. I feel like we just had a big Lebowski moment. Listen, I was looking at you, Mr. Lebowski, okay? I'm the dude, or his dudeness, or El Deuterino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
You know what it was? I typed in your headline thing for StreamYard for you while you were getting other stuff set up. And that one alteration to the starting of the recording is just ruined my translation of the old tongue, apparently. That's going to be my excuse.
Happens to the best of us. We've got
before I was like, wait, I did say something wrong. Whoops.
We've got the soundscapes in the house, y'all. Bringing it well. And, you know, I feel like there's some important things happening, especially around this area of the internet. And so if you want to make sure that you keep in touch, if you keep looped in to understand what's going on, you usually should go to blacktarpod.com. That's our website. We do all the stuff there. It's got all our socials on there. It's got our Patreon on there. It's got our merch stores on there, which we've added a couple new merch designs here recently. So you need to go check those out. We got two different merch stores, of course. One is a Spreadshirt, and one is New Creations by Jen. Both fantastic places. So go check them out. Go get them. Go get them.
You can do it. We have all the faith.
You need them.
Yeah,
we got
also the site to go to if you want to get the link to join our Discord. If you don't click the one on the show notes or whatever, anything that's down there you can find on the website, and it might be a little bit easier to find. You don't have to read through a bunch of text to do it. But we all love reading here, so we assume that y'all want longer and longer descriptions. So I'm just gonna keep adding. Not really too lazy. But you can find that in our Patreon, where you can listen live and or get early access to the episodes before they go live to the public, as well as some fancy, spancy stickers and a bunch of other stuff. Go over there, check it out, see if it's for you. If it's not for you, then feel free to just support us with the likes and the subscribes and all the other stuff, because it all helps. And if you think we're absolute dog trash bad, please comment that down below.
Yeah, do that.
We're not gonna like
hurt
flag you for
our feelings against us. So,
like, got pretty thick skin. I don't really care. You can say what you want. So, end of the day, I still get to click the upload button. Well, figuratively, we do.
Whatever.
But with all that said and ado, the spoiler level for this episode might be a bit fluid. It might be a little up and down. So we will try our best to give spoiler warnings before spoiling anything. Past book one, Eye of the World, anything in book one like it, and in the TV shows, just kind of like it is what it is. So it's out there. It's been out there long enough. Watch it, read it. If you haven't, true. Sorry, can't control everything. With all that being said and done, and a perfect intro to a very chipper tune to bring in, I guess we are not alone today. So
that's right. Your surprise.
Give your taintiest of welcomes to our guest today, the author T.S. Pedramont.
Well, hello. Is it my turn to talk?
It is. Tell everybody who you are, where you're from, what you do, and what your favorite Cheez-It is.
Ooh. All right. Well, I'm author T.S. Pedramont. That's my pen name. If you want to dig, you can find my real name. It's not a secret. But yeah, I am a fledgling author. I have one book out so far, which you can see behind me. These are all Kickstarter fulfillment copies for the campaign I ran in January. But I'm shooting for book two to be out later this year in the Nightshade Unicorn series. And yeah, I just came off of 12 years of active duty in the Marine Corps. Still in the reserves because, you know, retirement sounds good.
You look like you've got a nice reserve beard going.
Yeah, it's actually... I figure it's good for the author image, and so I'm doing it on purpose. and I do trim it, you know, I trim it so yep. I don't have a neck beard. But then once a month I have to shave it off all the way, and it starts over. But I actually started it accidentally because I was sick, and I just didn't have the wherewithal to shave for several days. I'm like, well, I guess I'm growing a beard now.
Excellent.
That was in December, and so every month I've regrown it. But what else did you ask? Oh, where I am? I'm on the East Coast. I like the woods. That's nice.
Well, I meant virtually. If someone was like, "Oh, dang, this guy is pretty cool," I should check
out his yeah.
book. Where can I get your book?
Just go to pedramon.com. There are links there. The book's link on Amazon if you want to search for below. Nightshade Unicorn. But pedramon.com has links to everything else.
Excellent. So. And this book is your inaugural book. It's
yes.
your first, right? Your first yes. published work?
Yep. I'm a little baby author.
Well, congratulations.
These are my first steps.
And last but not least, your favorite Cheez-It.
I'm not much of a Cheez-It connoisseur. They're good. Don't get me wrong. I just haven't gone down that rabbit hole.
All right. Well,
I'd have to say homework. Every Cheez-It is a good Cheez-It.
I mean, you're not wrong, but you have homework.
Just the white cheddar.
Yeah. You ever had the duo packs?
Yes.
The duo pack that has the white cheddar and then the slightly spicy cheddar Cheez-Its?
Maybe. I think so.
That's my favorite.
Okay.
Now I want Cheez-Its. Thanks, Josh.
I feel like I can picture the flavor of the spicy Cheez-Its, so probably. But
my favorite Cheez-It is the Baby Swiss. Mm. And I haven't seen it in a long time. It makes me sad.
I like Jordan and his
endeavor. Oh yeah. Jordan, you and Jordan out here touting your wares. I love it.
Nice to meet you.
as you are aware, we are a Wheel of Time podcast. So
yeah.
Before we get too deep into your books there, just kind of a question like how did you find the Wheel of Time? When did you first, you know, what was your experience there in getting introduced to the Wheel of Time?
My older brothers were reading it, and this was in the late 90s. It was in high school. I might have been in middle school when my oldest brother started reading it, but nice. I was in high school when I started. And, yeah, read through... the first six at that time, maybe through the first eight. And then, of course they weren't all out yet. And then
yeah.
came back to it later in life. I had a long commute for a few years. It was over an hour each way, so I got an Audible subscription and downloaded the last few books and finished the series about 2014.
There you go.
Yeah.
So, yep. Do you have a favorite book from the series then, or? To make a really easy question for you.
Well, like, probably just really Dragon Reborn.
That's fair.
Dragon Reborn. Okay.
Or A Memory of Light.
Also a fair choice.
Also fair. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to go with that second one.
a nice beefy choice.
Is that unfair to Jordan at that to Robert Jordan if I say that, because he didn't
but he was still the architect. He had the blueprints and a lot of I think he had a lot more of it actually kind of written out than you might think. The only differences with that would be, you know, obviously parts of it having to be rewritten so it flows in well with Brandon's writing style and everything, I'm sure.
If I'm not mistaken, there are whole entire entrances or whole entire passages that are Robert Jordan had written them out and specifically said, I want this to happen like this. And anytime Maria or Harriet or Alan had told Brandon that, hey, Robert Jordan wants this to, you know, well, what they would have said was, Jim wants this to be exact as much as possible. And Brandon would have been like, cool. And so Brandon kind of jumped through hoops a little bit to make sure that those scenes remained as pure as possible. And I know they did that a lot. Yeah. So,
well, I believe it, because I have series planned. I say planned. I mean that very loosely. They're not fully architected out yet, but there are things that I want to happen a certain way. I haven't had a chance to put those things on paper yet. So if I died, my wife would be lost and my work would die at this point. Actually, I was thinking in the shower, because I showered just an hour ago because I spent all day under my car trying to replace an engine mount. I succeeded.
And let's be real, men, we do our best thinking either on the toilet or in the shower.
Yeah. So I was thinking while I was in the shower that if I died, you know, this would have to be later on when I have the rest of the series better outlined so that somebody could finish it. And not this series, maybe this is years down the road when I'm in the middle of another one. I know who I would ask my wife to go to. And he's small potatoes right now, but he's a friend of mine. He's the author of the Wyoming Bones mid-grade novellas.
Okay.
But exciting. I know that he has the smarts that he could pick it up. So
nice. You just got it all planned out. You're just like, okay, I'm going to write 8 more books.
That's a plan for the plan.
Die, and then I got my buddy to take over for me.
I don't have to die. You know, there's a lot of composers wrote 9 symphonies and died. So
that's right.
But, you know, some composers made it past that. Haydn wrote like 100, but then did he write 100 symphonies, or did he write the same symphony 100 times?
Ooh.
But
now we're getting into
the... I don't know nearly enough about music, much less classical music, to even come close to giving an answer to that question.
Yeah, sorry.
No, you're fine.
How dare you, sir? You know what? Look, if someone comes away from this episode and goes, what the hell is that? I'm going to Google that. Oh. Like, I'm happy with that. So you just keep being you, sir, unapologetically and fully authentically. And we're going to make magic.
Roger that.
Here's the important question. Now that you're in the reservist, are you still in the habit of just saying out when you get off the phone instead of just like bye or anything like that? That is coming from prior service Air Force, now working on a Marine Corps installation. every time I call somebody, in addition to getting used to using full titles of rank, because God forbid you call a staff sergeant sergeant.
Oh my God.
Which is fine, fair. I would just be like, all right, thanks. I'll talk to you later. And they're just out, hang up. And I'm like,
so I hang up in the manner of who I'm talking to. You know, if they're military, I'll say out, or I might say bye. But if they're not military, I'm not going to say out. But yeah, I thought it was kind of funny going into the Marines, learning like you have to use the master gunnery sergeant. Well, there's an asterisk there. There are ways to abbreviate some of those higher enlisted ranks. But yeah, it did seem kind of stiffy, kind of stiff. To enforce that all the time, you have to say gunnery sergeant, and then now, so where I'm stationed, I go to my drill weekend, and my first drill weekend, so my unit's offices are downstairs from an Army Reserve band, and so my first drill weekend. During chow, I go to the chow hall and there's tons of people there. And I find myself in line behind a couple of soldiers. And anyway, so like walking through the halls, sometimes I hear them say sergeant and I look and the guy's like got three rockers. And I'm like, really? You're just going to just going to say sergeant, you know?
Well, it is the reserves. Like it's a little bit more, you know.
Have you been around the Air Force at all?
Not really. Only for earplugs.
Yeah. So in the Air Force, it is perfectly acceptable to address anyone of any rank as sir or ma'am.
Yep.
Okay.
So.
Another fun little, we're getting like onto like vet wheel right now. Vet wheel of talk. It's too bad Tavern isn't here.
Hey, it's almost like the series was written by a vet.
Weird.
Crazy.
In the Air Force, it is formal that when you have your first interaction with someone for the day, to address them by their full rank. So if there's Master Sergeant, you know, Snuffy, you would say, "Good morning, Master Sergeant Snuffy." But then throughout the rest of the day, like if you're in the same like general vicinity, you can just be like sir or sergeant or whatever.
That sounds like some.
I thought it was curious when I was at Sergeant's course. They taught us when you address a general the first time, you say "Good morning, General," instead of "Sir" or "Ma'am." That first time, like you actually use their rank because in all other contexts, if you're addressing someone who is an officer and is senior to you, it's "Sir" or "Ma'am," unless you're calling their attention, in which you say name, rank.
Yes.
Or rank name. You say Captain Smith. You don't just say Smith. You don't just say Captain.
It's Captain. Yo, Smitty, what's up?
I think the first time I addressed the general like directly, just me, was I called him Colonel. Not because I forgot the rank or whatever, but he was the installation commander when I left for basic. And at that point, he was a full bird colonel. And in the meantime, I don't know how this works to this day, but while I was in training, he retired and got Brigadier General and came back and was still in his flight suit doing everything. And I remember the guy because he looked like a chubbier version of George W. Bush and sounded just like George W. Bush. Love the guy. And so I was back, you know, because I did the security forces thing. So... if you've been to Oki, then you know us, and I would say sorry, but no.
I've been within 100 yards of George W. Bush one time.
Oh, wow.
Anyway.
It's an odd way to say that you were. No, I'm not going to say that.
No, see, my...
So, speaking of... I'm so glad you brought politics up. Let's go. No, just kidding.
Are you doing, like, a detail or something? For?
Well, I was a musician. And I was in the band at MCRD San Diego, and we covered a youth golf tournament opening ceremonies at the big famous golf course in LA, and he was there.
Oh, okay.
And what's your instrument?
Clarinet.
All right, got some woodwind action going on.
I played flute in sixth grade, and that's about the closest I get to musical inclination.
Mm.
So, not very close.
So let me ask you this then, because we've already established you're an author. You've got your book, which I see right over your shoulder there. Looks fun. Looks amazing. You're a Wheel of Time fan. Have been a Wheel of Time fan. Was the Wheel of Time the book series that inspired you to want to be an author? Or was there something related to the Wheel of Time in your journey to become an author?
That's really hard to say. I'm sure it played its part, but I wouldn't, at least right now, I'd have to really think about it. I can't nail down like, yes, it was Wheel of Time, but it definitely played a big part. Because I know that because when I have conversations and when I talk about writing with other authors, I very frequently ask, like, did you read Wheel of Time? Did you read Dragon Riders of Pern? Do you read Brandon Sanderson? You know? And so the fact that I bring them up tells me that they have influenced me. And it definitely influences how I write and how I make decisions in plotting and prose. I wouldn't say that it's why I wanted to become a writer.
Okay.
Maybe I'll discover that later, but I'm unaware of that at this time. Well, and I do know that I wanted to write before I ever read Wheel of Time.
Sure.
So, cause I started Wheel of Time in high school and I wanted to write a story about my parakeet when I was 10. So
yeah. When's that one getting published?
Good question. Good question. It'll probably be under a different pen name though.
There you go.
You don't want to confuse readers.
Sure.
You know, somebody looking for this, which is it's book one in an epic fantasy series. They're probably not looking for a novel about my parakeet. You know, and
you gotta make them
put a different name on it so I don't have these readers opening this and expecting it to be like this. Opening that story and expecting it to be like this and then being disappointed.
It changed. You can always just change the name of the parakeet to Bella and then people will want multiple books dedicated specifically.
The creator.
Yeah. We subscribe to the theory that Bella was the creator?
Obviously.
I don't.
There's no way. Obviously.
I think it's a funny haha, but
it is a funny haha. I think I first heard that theory from the Wattpod through a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you were familiar with Wattpod.
Yep. Through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, I think a lot of the fandom likes it as a funny haha because it just is kind of, you know, funny to think that the literal like creator of all existence was just masquerading as like this, you know,
as a horse,
as barely better than a plow horse by metrics of horses. That's what Bella was. She was a working horse, not a,
that's right.
Anything. So like, I think it's cool. I think it's funny. And you know, had that been how things turned out in the end, like I wouldn't have necessarily been surprised, but I'm kind of glad that it wasn't. Cause I'm like,
it would have, it wouldn't have hit the aesthetic.
Yeah. I think it would have very much cheapened the role of the creator.
Yeah.
And taken away how badass of a horse Bella was in her own right. Would have taken away all that whole agency. Like, there's no pride in saying, hey, I didn't die whenever you're immortal. Like, yeah, it's, kind of in the name of what you are. But anyway, so your book. Let's get into talking about your book. So I know you said it's the first one in an epic fantasy series. Do you have an idea of how long you're shooting for? Which obviously we know can change because Robert Jordan originally was like, "I'll do three," and then it was six. 3 books.
It'll be like 3 books long.
I have to preface that I am behind. I am behind my plans, like behind schedule. I don't know how many books it's going to be. It's going to be at least 3 books. At least 3 books. I could easily see 5 books. And honestly, like I'm a brand new baby author, and maybe I will find out that, you know, this character needs to come back. This character needs to come back. We need to hear this backstory because that's going to inform this scene that's coming up, and maybe it'll turn into a 10 book series. I don't know. But
well,
bare minimum 3.
All right. All right.
It cannot be less than 3. There is an important plot event that has to happen that is not the end of the series.
All right.
So that,
all right,
that
well,
important plot event cannot happen before the end of the series. So there has to be one more book after that, at least. So it's at least 3 books.
If you were a young author, as you claim to be, and you were currently exposing your story to like 3 people, what would you say? What would your pitch be like? What's the synopsis? What's happening in your universe that's going to make me want to read?
Well,
and I will say this, I did very much try to get a copy and read it beforehand. With Jordan Con coming up and you kind of like posted it out there, and I was like, hell yeah, let's do this. And I'm sorry, I did not have time to read it yet, but next time we talk, I will have read your book. So I'm just saying.
Sweet. Thank you. Well, I believe I am a poor marketer. So I thought about different tacks to take. So like I have the blurb on the back of the book. And by the way, there's like the one printed by Amazon versus the one printed by Ingram Spark. So this one has the blurb that's the same as on the back of the paperback, and this one has an excerpt instead. So how about the excerpt? "That evil now comes near to overflowing its bounds," the Nemord said. "Overflow its bounds?" Lava repeated. "Perhaps you saw the sky split open last night. Those are cracks in the prison." Lava's face went pale. "If those were only cracks, what happens when it breaks? When the prison bursts, all the world will feel it." So that's an excerpt, slightly rephrased so that it'll fit. So that's not word for word what comes out of the chapter. It's exactly the spirit of what happens in the chapter, but it had to fit on the back. Or, you know, in conversation, I like to say, like, in this world, everybody knows unicorns. You know, everybody's seen one. They're not that rare. And so everybody knows that they can talk. They're not going to carry on a conversation with humans because they're too flighty and whatnot. But everybody's seen one. Everybody knows that unicorns are all white. They're all female. And they're all, like, happy. So, like, these stories that you've heard about the Nightshade Unicorn, obviously false. Because they say he. And they say, like, he eats children. And not like unicorns. And by the way, stop saying unicorn. The proper term is Nemord.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. As far as like what happens in this story, that's the background of what the main character is living in. And then one day a male Nemord shows up and says, "Hey, the world needs help and you're the help. Come on, let's go. We're in a hurry."
All right. So. All right.
Now, does this male Nemord, the forerunner, bribe said person with silver coins from their fancy city.
No,
you know, they're showing up in the backwoods paying children to leave and follow them.
No.
Like, it's like one of those things, like, explain plots in terrible ways. Like, well, the book starts with this magical lady showing up and paying children to leave their homes and go with her.
Excuse me.
No, I like that. No. So, okay, so a male Nimrod shows up, says, let's go, let's do the thing. Is this a sort of a, is this a prophecy type situation, or is this more of a, and if you need to Rafo me, that's fine. I know that Rafo belongs to Wheel of Time and I'm not trying to steal it. Everybody shush. Okay. Don't shush. Leave your hate comments below. That'll be great. If you need to Rafo me, feel free to Rafo me. Is this like a
prophecy the term. Now situation? I get it.
Yeah. You what?
I googled the term. I wasn't familiar with that.
Oh, actually.
But now I know.
Oh, you haven't seen the Rafo?
You got Rafo. You got Wafo, which is wait.
Now we got Wafo.
Wafo. And then you got Mafo, which is Maria, and find out.
That's right. Maria.
And I think for not as many uses as Maria Simmons. She was one of the editors. Major part of Team Dragon, and an all-around fantastically beautiful person. She is amazing. Okay. And if you ever go to the JournalCon or WattCon, there's a good chance you'll meet her if she's there that year.
Yeah, she was super sweet.
And she a party.
One of the ones who took dictation from Robert Jordan while he was on his while he was taking his last breaths.
It was one of those things, like when Brandon was going around, like for the last three books, and they were doing like the signings and doing panels and stuff. If he didn't know if he could answer a question, and even then, sometimes she would interrupt and say before, he would look at her to get approval to answer the question.
Okay.
Or she would just interrupt and say no. Or if he was unsure, he'd be like, "That's a Mafo," and they'd be like, "Maria, do you want to answer?" And she'd be like, "No."
Yeah, it's so. Oh my god. Those are some of the best things in the world when Maria just goes, you know, Maria, would you like to comment on that? No.
Uh-huh.
Then there's somewhere Brandon was like, well, if I can tell about that, look at Maria. Maria would just be like, no.
Okay.
Which I think is funny that those kinds of interactions are happening years after the series is complete. Like, what else are we not allowed to talk about? Like, what's going on here?
It's
fantastic.
We'll have to think of like a version of that for you.
So, did you have specific questions? There are definitely some things that are going to be Wafo.
Well, that was going to be my question. My question was going to be: is this some sort of like prophecy situation, or is this a situation where your main character just possesses some kind of spark about them that attracts the
so there's number one, I have toyed with the idea of there maybe being one prophecy thing in this book, but basically it's not going to be a huge part of things. And as far as like how the main character is chosen, that's stated somewhat early in the book, maybe first half. So it's not really a spoiler. It's I would think first quarter, but it's probably first third. But no, it's basically this Nimrod, who is the forerunner, was looking for a certain kind of person, and she fit the bill perfectly. And she was nearby enough. Like, maybe it could have been somebody else, but she was nearby, so he found her.
So this is not a Dragon Reborn type situation.
No, not like that.
Okay.
There might be some Chosen One vibes, because he came and found her and chose her. She is literally the chosen one for now.
I love that.
But it's not like she was fated to save the world from its foundation.
Okay.
I like it because anytime you go through these things where there is that, you know, the fated chosen one, like Rand and everybody, for this, like it's kind of like a thing that you're just so used to to hearing now. Like, okay, there's, you know, somebody born, well, and this their destiny, but to have someone else that's like,
yeah,
hey, this is the criteria to meet the need. You meet the criteria, and you're the closest slash the one I found first.
Yep.
So now it's you.
Yeah.
So, If I'm interpreting correctly and putting it very simply.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the Chosen One trope is a great trope, but yeah, it's a little tired now. It's been done so many times. So yeah, I might do it in another series, but I don't... this one, it's she fits the bill. And lest any readers in future books think that I'm changing that, I've already planned out like how... I know the foundation of how the series is going to end. And
okay.
Yeah, she fits the bill. Maybe better than we realize at this time, but it's just that she fits the bill.
I like it.
So, I'm there.
I did just order a copy. So
yeah.
So, thank you.
Yeah, no, not a problem. It definitely sounds interesting. I think you're doing a good job selling it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, the reviews help too. Good reviews, which is always a good thing.
So, yeah.
Did you like go through the whole process where you had like dedicated people that you trusted to kind of like read the book or maybe read parts of it beforehand and give you feedback on it before you went much further? Did you have like a fair number of those people? Was it like the trusted, very small inner circle?
I had a fair number of people. Cause there's kind of the law of attrition with beta reading and with ARC reading. So I sent it to a pool of 30 something beta readers and I got, well thought out feedback from, I could check my files, but I don't know, 5 or 8 of them, which is pretty good. You know, I got different opinions and I got some good feedback to consider. So yeah.
That's the important part. If it's good and useful, for sure.
First to read it was my 12-year-old daughter.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And
nice.
She came back and ordered me to write the second one.
There you go. Okay.
All right. So, well, so you liked it. Okay, good.
Here comes my question then. Did you ever watch and or read The Last Unicorn?
I didn't.
I haven't. Ooh. Okay. It's an old classic. The animated movie was one of my favorites as a kid. And the second you started talking about a unicorn coming into town and being like, let's go save the world. Essentially, there's like this, there's a spirit of like a red bull that drives all of the unicorns into the ocean and has them trapped there. And then you have like the last unicorn who has to try and defeat the Red Bull and bring all the unicorns back. And it's great. It's fantastic. And I love it. So you should check that out. Homework assignment for you.
Looking it up. Yep.
Of course, after you read Nightshade Unicorn.
Right.
Nightshade Unicorn first. Then Josh's homework.
So, yeah, right.
Kind of one of the things that started this whole interaction between us, which was, I think, as far as I remember, new for us. I don't think anybody had ever just like posted on X and tagged us, and we're like, "Hey, let's have a chat." I mean, I may not remember it. I don't think anybody's done it that way. Like, I think we've been tagged in things where people were like looking for guests or looking to be guests on other things. I know we've gotten like emails about it. But this was a new one for us, which is, to me, it's always fun and exciting whenever somebody reaches out for like some kind of collaboration or whatever in a new to us way. It's like, oh, we could check another way somebody is, you know, gotten our attention or talked to us or however you want to say it. Whatever one of those doesn't sound super fucking conceited that way. So talking about how the Wheel of Time has influenced you as a reader turned author, and maybe what themes that you are at least conscious of that have made it over into the books, into your series, and maybe what themes you think may come into play without, you know, obviously spoiling too much of your books, and what you have planned out. And then it'd be also interesting to, you know, way further down the line, maybe like whenever you, after the second book is done, be like, hey, what themes did you not realize you were incorporating or ideas, and now you found it kind of too.
Well, and I was thinking about like how the Wheel of Time is affecting the entire fantasy genre. A Wheel of Time, and then continuing on through Brandon Sanderson, because that it definitely influenced him. But as far as like what themes, so I have my protagonist going on a journey, and maybe that's just an epic fantasy thing, that there's going to be a quest of some sort. And I, again, in the shower, I was thinking, you know what? I hadn't thought about this before today, but my main character comes from a small agrarian community, just like Rand does. And then somebody with magic comes and says, let's go. And then they travel east. So in both cases, they're traveling east and they're traveling in a hurry. And then after book one, there's going to be maybe something of a tactical pause, right? It's like they rush and they rush to get to the Eye of the World. And then after that, it's kind of like, well, what's next? In Nightshade Unicorn, it's not going to be so much, well, what's next, but it won't be in such a rush. Book two won't be in. Yeah. Book one even be thriller-esque. I don't know if anybody else would give it that word, but they're hurrying across the countryside as fast as they can. And book two is going to be a little bit different in that regard. And then I was going to look up. There was something. Oh, right. I'm going to steal from one of my, from my review on Goodreads. I have two ratings, but only one review on Goodreads. And this reviewer said, because it's hard for me to pull out some of these things than it is for the reader, because I'm kind of too close to it. That's so fair. She said, a great adventure story with some thinly veiled discussions of theodicy. I had to look that word up. And right versus wrong. Yes, there is absolutely right versus wrong, without really being preachy or judgmental. And again, I would say the Wheel of Time is like that as well. It touches on right versus wrong, because it pits right against wrong.
Sure.
But it doesn't get judgmental. In fact, it seems to intentionally refrain from that, because when, who is it that comes and talks to, oh my goodness, my brain's gone blank. Lady who wears a braid, Lan's wife.
Nynaeve.
Nynaeve. Yes. So Nynaeve hears from...
Well, that's all we got time for today. Nobody's ever going to read your books now.
Also, spoiler warning about...
Spoiler warning.
Slight spoiler warning.
Yeah. Probably figured it out, especially if you've watched the show.
Slight spoiler warning. And I've only watched the first season, by the way. But later, beyond book one, somebody comes to Nynaeve, and this might be either in the World of Dreams or in one of the Tarangriel that they use to in ceremonies in the tower.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody talks to her how the new wisdom in town, I think it's the latter is where this happens, but somebody talks to her about
it is
the new wisdom in the tower. It talks a lot about sin, and it's not really something that the Wheel of Time books really touch on, you know. It's like, obviously, killing without reason is wrong, and stealing is wrong, you know. And so it's very basic common ground morality, and it doesn't get preachy. So there's right versus wrong, but it's not preachy or judgmental. And a criticism here that the reader had a hard time with the first few chapters before she leaves on her journey. Yep, I had a hard time with the first 80 or 150 pages of The Eye of the World, and then it picked up. So
yeah,
that's a commonality. But yeah.
So I like that. The one you're talking about, the new wisdom thing, it was her second test under the accepted test.
Uh-huh.
And she's talking to Marin Alvear, because like Sin Bui is now the mayor. Bran Alvear has died, and the new wisdom, Melina Ayar, is from Watch Hill and bullies people into doing things and murders those who stand against her.
Mm.
So,
which is horrible.
I mean, yeah, it's a little, I'm not going to use a name, but dictatory.
Yeah.
Right.
It reminds me of people that try to assassinate their brothers that live in foreign lands. So, I mean, he does not have a butthole. He does not need one.
He does not need one. Well, now you made me forget my question.
You're welcome. What does it take to make Josh forget a question? One movie and butthole reference.
And a weekend of shenaniganry. Oh, that's where I was going to go with this. So we just finished up JordanCon, and I know I talked to you about it, and I know that you messaged back and was like, oh yeah, the registration had already closed. You were too late to jump in on that. And
yeah,
you know, that happens. But do you have plans on attending possibly WattCon, where people can get a good look at your book in person?
I just looked it up when you mentioned it earlier. I wrote it down. So like I said, I'm behind. I'm scrambling to keep up with life right now.
Don't know what that's like at all.
I spent all day underneath the car because
right,
we had to register our cars in the state where we live now because I came off active duty, and then our registrations right in our previous home state expired. And then there's a safety inspection and my car needed work. So
yeah.
Anyway, so all these things. So when is it? July 12th through 14th.
Yep.
And it is in
the second,
yeah, Dublin,
the
second Ohio
weekend of July. Yep. In Dublin, Ohio.
I cannot. Darn, I cannot.
Well, maybe you'll be able to jump on as an author at the next JordanCon.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh man. Well, because
there's always future years. And now that you're aware of them more intimately, you can try, or it makes it easier to plan for stuff.
I need to add it to my spreadsheet so I don't forget it. Yeah, I'm trying.
JordanCon is definitely more like writer focused than WattCon is.
Uh-huh.
Yes. They have like the whole writer's track and that kind of stuff and everything. So definitely recommend that for writers, because I mean it's right up, you know, your alley. I don't write. I mean, not that it's not up my alley. Obviously, we go and I enjoy it, but 5 minutes I spend downstairs, that is.
So to come back to, oh, and sorry, I can't really think and do this at the same time. I'm trying to add WattCon to my spreadsheet of conventions to check out. So JordanCon happens in April. I already have that on my spreadsheet now. And then July right there. WattCon. Okay. To come back to your question about what themes do I see coming, you know, influenced by Wheel of Time? I can't really speak for Brandon Sanderson as to how much he was influenced by Wheel of Time, vice other things that he read. But I do see the individual characters having their story arcs woven in and out and come back throughout the much larger story arc. And so I see that in Stormlight Archive, and I can't help but wonder if he, you know, if that was heavily influenced by how Robert Jordan did it in the Wheel of Time. And I am looking at doing that in the future. So book one of Nightshade Unicorn is not like that. There are two POV characters in the entire book, and one of them is only in the prologue and epilogue. And the other one, like through chapter one through the last chapter, is just the main character. And that's because of the nature of this, the first book, where it's kind of the journey that's that kicks things off. Next book will have more POVs. And that's just the way it has to happen, because the way I've set it up, it has to. It will. And then for the Grendhill Chronicles, which is what really got me started on the writing journey, but I had to set it aside before, in order to get something out, you know. I was going to take forever. I was going to take decades on the Grendhill Chronicles. I've started in 2010, so I'm already at 14 and a half years on the Grendhill Chronicles. But that will be kind of involved like that, where we come back to different POV characters as well.
Nice. Yeah, I think... Well, not I think. Wheel of Time was the first series I ever read that had multiple POVs. You know, before that, I was reading things like Harry Potter and all, where it was just like, it wasn't really any POV. It was kind of Harry's POV, but it was really just a generic narrator looking down at the story POV. And which I do still very much enjoy. I think it's still good, because there's something to be said about being the reader and you actually confidently knowing everything that's going on. And so you get that kind of enjoyment of watching characters do stuff and be like, oh, you're doing the bad thing. How bad is this going to be? But there is also something that is so very entertaining about reading only from somebody's POV, only knowing what they know in the story, or, you know, what they think they know in the story. And
yeah,
it winding up being like, you know, this thing we talk about with Robert Jordan all the time, the unreliable narrator, because everything you see is through a character's POV. And that breeds this air almost of like very light distrust and wariness, you know. So it's, yeah, something can be stated as if it's an absolute fact in, you know, like the Wheel, in any of the Wheel of Time books. And then like two chapters later, it's shown actually, no, that's not the case. That's not entirely the case.
And I don't know if I'm going to do it to the same degree. Like, I don't even know what Robert Jordan's first book was. I'm assuming he published before Wheel of Time.
He did.
But The Eye of the World was 300,000 words, and this is 94,000. So it's like less than a third of The Eye of the World. but it's, you know, I'm a baby author still. So I don't know if my jumping around from POVs to POV will be nearly as verbose, or if I'll have nearly as many characters. He had tons of characters.
Yeah.
But I'm over 2,700 named characters.
Yeah. But I see that thread of, you know, that factor of looking at things from different POVs. Now, I'm currently playing with a prologue for book two from somebody who's on a different continent. So that might be fun to start out. I don't want to, you know, waffle. I'm going to waffle that one as far as to what kind of character this character is.
I'm excited.
I've already spoiled it. There's more than one continent.
Oh, shit. Spoiled. Well, all right. Well,
there's a map in the front of the book.
Right. TS, we're like super happy. I lost my, where'd my thing go? I don't know. We're super happy.
Pardon Joshua, he loses his mind. I don't know if you saw him being slowly swallowed by Mashadar earlier. Looks like he kind of survived.
I did. I kind of survived. I just wanted to say thank you for being here. Like, we're super happy. Go ahead and one last time, tell everybody what's the name of your book and where they can get it so that they can read about the unicorns that we don't call them unicorns because that's a bit of a slur. No, just kidding.
It is. It's. I mean, it's like calling us two legs. It's an accurate description, but it doesn't do us service.
It's reductive. I like it.
You like reductive things. You heard it here first.
I do. I love them. They're some of my favorite things.
Josh likes reductive things.
Nightshade Unicorn is the name of the series. That's what I would, if you want to look it up, that's what you should look up. Because if you look up Forerunner, you're going to find a Toyota SUV. so don't look up the title of book one. Look up the series title, Nightshade Unicorn.
Nightshade?
That's Unicorn. Catchy and that'll get you there.
And if you just really want to go straight to the source, you can go to, what's the website again? One more time.
Pedramon.com.
Which is in the description down below. Do not miss out. It's going to be amazing. Again, thank you for being here. We love talking with authors. We love talking about their new ideas.
Thank you for having me.
We talked to Jason Denzel a while back about his series, which was also really a joy to get introduced to. So I look forward to the new story that you want to tell out there, and I'm excited for that. Thanks to all of you who listen and follow along. Let us know if you like this. Do you like us talking to authors about new books? Maybe that's going to be a new series. I think it should be. I certainly enjoy this, and I know it's not the normal tainty goodness you get from the Black Tower Boys, but at the same time, I think it's some pretty good tainty goodness. What about you, Andrew?
I think that, I love doing this, especially, it doesn't really matter if you've read The Wheel of Time before. I think you should. Personally, yes. I think it matters, but, you know, publicly, I'm like, you know. Everybody can't be perfect, you know. But I love talking to new authors and just seeing like the similarities and the differences between the different authors as we talk to them, and then coming back like maybe a couple years later, however long later, and seeing like how things have changed and just how authors grow. To me, it's super interesting. I mean, it's almost like a form of anthropology, I guess, to me. Which was always one of the more interesting things I found in history, like how people did things.
Andrew, behind you, is that meant to be Rand's arm dragon, or is that just a dragon?
Yeah, no, that is the dragon banner.
Okay. Oh, the dragon banner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So in ninth grade, I was in the band. I was in the marching band. We played the football games. And on Halloween, they let us put on costumes, and I did a cosplay of Rand, and I tried drawing the dragon on Saran wrap, and I wrapped it around my forearms, or on plastic.
Oh,
wrap,
nice! You know? Nice. I
love that.
Oh, okay.
I just said tattooed. And I've seen a few people that they have them actually tattooed. And I saw one person actually that for, let's just say that they stayed book accurate as much as they could without self-mutilation.
Mm.
And if you know what I'm talking about, then, you know, if not, just look up the cover of, I forget which book it is, but it's the one where Rand is screaming at the sky. Look that up and it'll give you an idea. Yeah, no, this is super fun. And it also helps introduce me to new books to go and check out and read, because I do have a bit of a list, and then I have time at work where I could read, and instead I doom scroll or whatever. I'm just scrolling through my phone. Mm-hmm. I really need to get on reading, because I made it 4 pages into Mistborn and then got busy at work 3 years ago. Terrible.
Yeah, catch up on that. Oh, it's fine. Catch up on that.
Well, Mistborn picked up pretty quickly.
So. Yeah, that's. But if you're listening to this and you're like, hey, I'm a new author, or you are not even a new author, let's say you've been an author for a while and you want to come on, feel free to shoot us a message. You can also just tag us on X. That clearly works.
It works this time.
I was about to say.
Yeah. It clearly works. And it's always fun for us. And I know it's a lot of fun for Josh, because Josh is the one that sees most of that and then posts the thing. And he's like, what do you think? And I'm like, down. Let's do it.
So, he's like, hell yeah, brother.
Yeah. But T.S. Pedramon, thank you so much for your time. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for reaching out. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to get my copy in my hands. And unlike my copy of Mistborn at work, this will actually be read.
Yes.
Looking forward to being able to give some feedback too, which I'm sure will be a more eloquent version of, it was very good, I liked it.
More elephant version?
Eloquent.
Yeah, more
elephant. Elephant. It'll also be a bigger version of.
It'll be an elephant version.
I'll type it in all
Thanks
caps.
So much for tuning in. Elephant. Thanks so much for being here. Yeah. Thanks so much for sucking up this week's dose of taint. And from all of us here at the Black Tower, I have been your Sorvan Mihail, Josh. Andrew,
I just wanted to stare at you and see how long.
Andrew, who have you been? This has been my compatriot Andrew. He is also the Bayajan.
I was Kadir a couple days ago.
You were Kadir. You were no skin Kadir, and it was amazing.
Yeah, well, depends on your view of the skin suit. Once I found the belly button on that skin suit, it was horrifying. Anyway, thank you all for hanging out and listening to this. Go and definitely check out Nightshade Unicorn, because my brain just went dyslexic and kept wanting to say Unicorn Nightshade, and I know that was wrong. So go check out Nightshade Unicorn. You can get it on Amazon, but I know you can get it from the regular publishing site. So go and check that out and give the fantastic author all of the reviews, because reviews push inspiration, and we want to help push our new friend here to get the second book done so that we have another book to read.
But absolutely.
Thank you all again, and we will see you all again next week for our next episode. Have fun.